at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a very chilly Monday morning, but it is March, and we are now about 18 days away, believe it or not, from the beginning of spring. You're listening to the Ave Maria Radio Network. Good to be with you. I am fresh back from Rochester, New York, a great women's conference. They turned over 200 women away. It was their first, and it was a sellout. They had close to 1,000 women there, and Sister Joseph Andrew, of course, another piece of Michigan, there in New York with me. It was a lot of fun to see her and spend time with her. And then Matt Leonard, who was fabulous. He is from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He was the other keynote speaker and just had a great day. The only problem with these conferences is they go by way too fast, and you never feel like you have enough time to spend with the people, not only the organizers and the speakers, but the people who attend these conferences themselves, because they're so grateful for your time and for your effort and for your message. You just want to sit down and listen to all of their stories. Of course, you would need about 3 weeks in each location to do that, because it's a very powerful experience. Anyway, it's good to be back home. Got home Saturday night about 7:30, and it's good to be with you this morning. This week, Dominic and I are heading out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I will speak at the Catholic Men's Conference there. Now, they were close to selling out last week. As far as I know, they still have some openings. So what you need to do is you need to, as I've been saying, is go online, buildingalegacy.org. is the website. Father Larry Richards and myself, and also the Bishop of Grand Rapids, will be there on Saturday. Doors open at 7:30 a.m. It starts at 8:15 and it runs until 3:30. And the whole theme is all about surrendering, which is the ultimate power. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, when you think about surrender, you don't think about power. When you think about surrender, you don't think about building. Because in our culture, the term surrender or submitting, all of those kinds of phrases or words or terminology often get associated with what? Weakness, meekness, naivety, gullibility, stupidity, religious nutcases, on and on and on. But we know that that's where the true power, the ultimate power, comes from. Because what did Jesus do? He gave his life for us on the cross. And he is the King of Kings. He came to serve, not to be served, right? And so this whole idea of putting yourself out there for someone, giving yourself away, lose yourself so you find yourself in Christ, that's where the real power comes from. And sometimes it takes us a while to figure that out, speaking for myself. So we'll be discussing this on Saturday, Building a Legacy Catholic Men's Conference, taking place at the beautiful Immaculate Heart Mary Church in Grand Rapids on Plymouth Avenue. Looking forward to that. We're driving out Friday afternoon, and we will be there. And it's really nice to be able to travel with my husband. Now, because of his work and his ministry as a deacon, it's not always possible. We're both busy and both doing our own thing ministry-wise often. And it's great when we can do things together. So I'm really looking forward to having him there with me on Saturday and for the guys to meet him. And this will be Saturday, March 8th, Building a Legacy, the Grand Rapids Catholic Men's Conference, our 9th annual. Father Larry Richards and myself, the keynote speakers. Coming up on our program today, great show lined up at the bottom of the hour. Speaking of great speakers, our very own Al Cresta will be speaking in the area at a local event, and Paco Gavalides is going to fill us in and give us all the details. It'll be an opportunity for you to hear Al speak. And if you ever get a chance to hear Al speak, in addition to listening to his brilliant discussions on the air every day, it's really nice to be able to hear him in person, where he has a little bit more time to answer questions and to really kind of get into particular topics and dive into one topic. Usually our talks are anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. So it's quite an opportunity to hear Al in person if you haven't done that. Of course, we'll have his books available, and Paco will be along to tell us all about this particular ministry and Al's role that he'll be playing in this upcoming event. And then in our national hour, we are going to be taking a look at a couple of things. There's a new book out about the saints, North American Martyrs in particular, and Brian O'Neill will be with us, and it's a new book that he's just released, and he'll share some of his favorite saints and why we need to know about these various martyrs. We're going to take a look at some of the latest news, breaking news in the pro-life world. We'll be joined by our friends from the Susan B. Anthony List, and then we'll wrap up on Monday morning with Gail Buckley, our Bible lady and our scripture verse for the week. And I'm sure Gail will have a lot to say, of course, because this is a big week. We know that Lent is beginning on Wednesday. So I'm sure Gail will have something to say about that to put us in the right frame of mind. Now, in two cents, speaking of Lent, our bishop in the Archdiocese of Detroit, Most Reverend Alan Bignaron, has issued a beautiful Lenten letter. And you may have seen it. It was published in most church bulletins over the weekend. I have a copy of it. I'll share that with you. And I'll also share a prayer he's asking us to say during Lent as an archdiocese. And then we'll have some messages from another wonderful archbishop, Archbishop Chaput, on the three simple questions on the threshold of Lent. And then also on Lent, a message from Pastor Daryl Roman from St. Isaac's and St. Angela's. It's a parish where we're assigned as a deacon couple. And he has a beautiful message about the idea of cheap grace. And make sure you get rid of that idea of cheap grace, especially during Lent. Lots of stuff to talk about, of course, on the Lenten season beginning. And if you'd like to join in on the conversation, please do. 877-573-7825. Cold enough for you? What do you think? Ugh. I don't know about you, but I'm really, really tired of the cold. And we had a fun experience last night traveling back from dinner from my niece's house. We had some falling ice hit our windshield. Thanks be to God, nobody got hurt and hit the windshield, not the roof of the car. But talk about frightening. And to have the windshield practically shatter and barely being able to see, luckily because of the protective way they designed the cars now with the windshield, the glass doesn't fall in on you. But, boy, was that scary. And we have to take the car into the shop this week. But it's like, okay, I'm done with winter. I'm done with all the snow. I'm done with all the ice. I'm done with all the cold. However, since I'm not God, there's not too much I can do about it. And all of us have to put up with it for at least a few more weeks. Can you believe spring is 3 weeks away? Because today is Monday, March 3rd, and spring supposed to spring up on, of course, what? March 21st normally, right? But we are going to see cold temperatures today. It's going to be very, very cold, as a matter of fact, and high in the teens, maybe in the 20s. They're telling us that it is going to warm up, though, hopefully by Thursday. We are going to have sunny skies today, so at least that's some good news. As far as the temperature is concerned, right now Ann Arbor, it's partly cloudy and zero, okay? In the Lansing area, mostly cloudy, and the temperature is minus 5. In the southeastern Michigan area, Mount Clemens, Pontiac, Bloomfield, about the same, about minus 4. And if you go west to the Grand Rapids area, you've got some clouds, but also very cold, and minus 5 degrees. Even colder in Kalamazoo, minus 2. Then you go all the way up north, Gaylord. The temperature in Gaylord right now is minus 17. Minus 17. Traverse City, partly cloudy, and minus 16. That's the temperature. It's not even the wind chill. I'm not even going to go near the wind chill. This is ridiculous. I'm so over it. Basta with the winter. All right. Anyway, right now, though, it is sunny out there in southeastern Michigan for the most part. Time to check the news. It's 8:08 on a Monday morning on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around our world on a cold Monday, March 3rd, 2014. Holy Father is out with his prayer intentions for the month of March. They focus on women's rights as well as vocations. The apostleship of prayer announcing the intentions chosen by the Pope. General intention that all cultures may respect the rights and dignity of women. And for his mission intention, the Holy Father is praying that many young people may accept the Lord's invitation to consecrate their lives to proclaiming the good news. The Pope, meanwhile, asking for prayers also for the Ukraine yesterday, which he said was living through a very delicate situation. The Holy Father expressing the hope that all parts of the country will endeavor to overcome misunderstandings and build together the future of the nation. The Pope also appealing to the international community to support any initiative for dialogue and harmony. Following the recitation of the Angelus Prayer, the Holy Father looking toward the beginning of Lent, describing it as a journey of conversion to combat evil with the weapons of prayer, fasting, and mercy. The Pope stressing that humanity needs justice, reconciliation, and peace, and it will only have them by turning to God. Secretary of State John Kerry is planning a trip to Ukraine on Tuesday. Kerry will stress U.S. political and economic support following Russia's movement in Ukraine. Meanwhile, as reporter Daria Bondarchuk explains, police now in Moscow arresting dozens of protesters who staged demonstration against Russia's military intervention.
Hundreds of protesters holding Russian flags were chanting no to war and singing the Ukrainian anthem. Police dispersed the crowd, saying the unsanctioned demonstration violated the laws on public gatherings and public order. Some 40 anti-war activists have been detained, the Moscow Police Press Service told Russian media. Meanwhile, another demonstration in downtown Moscow in support of possible troop movement to Ukraine was promptly sanctioned by the city's authorities. Russian opposition TV channel TV Rain quotes witnesses saying some government employees were pressed into participation. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
Ukrainian Americans want Russian troops out of their country. Hundreds marching to the Russian consulate in New York City yesterday to send Russian President Vladimir Putin a clear message.
It's very similar to what Hitler was doing in 1938. So if Ukraine's going to allow him to do it, next stop can be Europe.
Protesters say Putin is a dictator who should keep his hands off of their country. The Secretary of State, as we mentioned, John Kerry, leaving for the Ukraine tomorrow. The goal is to convince the head of Russia to pull his troops out of Crimea without getting into an armed confrontation. The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee says the U.S. has no good military options in the Ukraine.
You've got now only economic options through the EU, and I would use those. And we shouldn't let the Ukraine get the EU and the United States into a civil war in the Ukraine.
Congressman Mike Rogers telling Fox News Sunday that sending naval forces to the Black Sea is really not a very good idea unless you intend to use them. The Michigan Republican advising the president to pull out of the upcoming G8 summit meeting in Sochi, Russia, which is planned for June. In other news this morning, this week is starting off with schools and government offices shut down in and around the nation's capital.
Many parts of central Virginia will see 3 to 6 inches of snowfall. Totals could be as high as 8 inches just north and west of the Washington area today.
That's meteorologist Rob Carolyn. The huge winter storm that pounded the middle of the country over the weekend will keep local and federal government offices, including Congress, closed in Washington today. District of Columbia public schools have canceled classes ahead of a storm that will dump as much as 9 inches on the D.C. area. Forecasters say New York and Boston won't get much snow, but freezing rain could make the morning commute a mess. In the Big Apple, meanwhile, as Jeff McKinney explains, thanks to the latest snowfall that moved in last night, they're now looking at some pretty big numbers for the winter.
The latest snowfall is adding to not record, but certainly Hall of Fame figures for total snowfall for the winter. 57 inches. That qualifies as the seventh snowiest winter ever, even with just about all of March still in front of us. The record for a winter is just over 75 inches. It was set back in 1995-96. There was a record set last month, though. The most snow to fall over the January-February two-month period. 4 feet. That is the most ever. And, of course, it's been colder than normal, so if your winter misery seems to be setting a personal record, there's no surprise there. Jeff McKinney, New York.
The storm pattern is shifting, meanwhile, over to the West Coast and the Northwest this week, with Washington and Oregon likely to be hit hard. Meteorologist Gary Best outlining what's on tap there.
There'll be several storms likely moving into the Pacific Northwest during next week, which again will create some problems with locally flooding rains, especially in lower elevations of Washington, Oregon, and maybe into Northern California, and some heavier mountain snows.
California was drenched last week and over the weekend with much-needed liquid and frozen precipitation to help with the drought. Phil Robertson is planning to address his brief suspension from Duck Dynasty in an upcoming book. He made the comments last week while accepting the Governor's Award for Entrepreneurial Excellence in the state of Louisiana. He was suspended by A&E for expressing his Christian beliefs concerning a number of issues, including marriage. He did that during an interview with GQ magazine. A public outcry against his suspension, though, led to him quickly being reinstated on the popular cable reality show.
And the Oscar goes to Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett celebrating her second Academy Award. She won the Oscar for Best Actress last night for her role in Blue Jasmine and made a statement to the industry about movies featuring strong female characters.
those of us in the industry who are still foolishly clinging to the idea that that female films with women at the centre are niche experiences. They are not. Audiences want to see them, and in fact, they earn money.
The win came for her performance of Jasmine, a former New York socialite in Denial, in the Woody Allen-directed film. She thanked the director, who received a brief applause in the midst of a long-standing child abuse allegation that had returned to the headlines in recent weeks. Kate also thanking the other actresses nominated with her, Judi Dench, Meryl Streep, Amy Adams, Sandra Bullock, and Julia Roberts. 8:15 on a very chilly Monday morning on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Good to be with you, and good to be heading to Holy Family Radio territory this weekend, where I'll be speaking at the 9th Annual Catholic Men's Conference. Building a Legacy, Surrender, the Ultimate Power is the theme. The website for more information is buildingalegacy.org. Building a Legacy? Ultimate Power? Surrender? You got it. That's the bottom line. Our phone number is 877-573-7825 if you'd like to join in our conversation at any time today, whether with one of our guests or maybe during the Two Cents segment, which is coming up. When we come back, we'll be talking about Lent. It begins on Wednesday. The Archbishop of Detroit issuing a beautiful letter to his sheep. I'll share that with you. And then also what another archbishop has to say about Lent and forgiveness and confession. And then something called cheap grace. What is it? Why we should try to avoid it or get rid of it, especially during Lent. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's the rush?
My dad's in the hospital, and I have to figure out something for him when he comes home. Who can I trust? Who will take care of him? I feel so confused and overwhelmed.
You need a trustworthy home care company, John Paul Home Care. They've been around for over 7 years, and legally you can choose whoever you want. Tell them you want John Paul. I mean, the name says it all.
It sounds like my dad would be comfortable with them. Tell me more.
My parents love them. They're kind, compassionate, easy to talk to, and they have so many services. My mom sees a nurse, physical therapist, and a social worker. My dad is visited by a physical therapist and a speech therapist. They've really made a difference in the quality of my parents' lives. And unlike most companies, they bring out special machines such as anodyne and laser stimulation that helps reduce pain. I haven't seen my parents as happy in years. It's so comforting to see them live life without worrying about their health. And what's more, John Paul makes it a point to stay up to date with all the latest technology in healthcare.
The hospital didn't tell me about John Paul. I'm so happy I spoke to you. Since my family and I love Pope John Paul too, it will be easy to remember the name. This company is godsend.
Call them. Their number is 248-731-7457.
Thank you. God bless you. What's that number again?
248-731-7457.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The Family of Faith Apostolate hosted marriage missionaries Greg and Julie Alexander at their September 2011 meeting.
We are here to bring people, to give them the truth, and to send them on. Our first exercise is healing and forgiveness, modeled after the Sacrament of Reconciliation, because some people haven't been to confession in 20 or 30 years, and they're wondering why they can't stand each other, because they don't have the grace. I used to think that confession was one of those Catholic things you had to do to remain Catholic. But then when I got married, I just didn't sin anymore. So I didn't need to go to confession.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. The Alexanders readily admit that they did everything that they could do wrong in their marriage. On our next program, they'll hear how the Holy Spirit intervened and taught them the Father's plan for marriage. Now they counsel others. It's a story you won't want to miss. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Thank you.
Lent is almost upon us. Coming up, of course, this Wednesday, March 5th. Welcome back. It is Catholic Connection. It's 8:20 on a Monday morning. You're listening to the Ave Maria Radio Network. Also heard, of course, on Berger Broadcasting in the northern parts of the state and parts of the UP. Holy Family Radio in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo. Our sister stations from Ave Maria in Saginaw, Bay City, and Midland, and also, of course, heard on Annunciation Radio, which has a brand new station in Willard, Ohio. Congratulations, guys. I was actually down there for a fundraiser, so glad to see that came out to be just fine and worked out. I know it was a long road for you, but appreciate your efforts and continuing to bring Catholic radio to that part of the Midwest. Our good friends at Annunciation Radio. Archbishop Chaput is one of my favorite archbishops. He has three simple questions on the threshold of Lent for us. I'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to read the message that was put out this weekend by our very own Archbishop Alan Vigneron. And he also has prayer cards for us that you should have seen in your pews at Masses this weekend. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, renew your wonders in our time as though by a new Pentecost, and grant that your Holy Church, praying perseveringly and insistently with one mind together with Mary, Mother of Jesus, and guided by St. Peter, may increase the reign of the Divine Savior, the reign of truth and justice, the reign of love and peace. Amen. The Archbishop writes, in December of 1961, Blessed John the 23rd included this prayer in his announcement of the Second Vatican Council. This call to prayer for a new Pentecost continues to resound to the Church, even into our day. In the same spirit of faith and the power of the gospel of Jesus, the Archbishop says he's calling the Church of Detroit to a season of prayer for a new Pentecost to break out in our own archdiocese. He's inviting all of us, he says, all the faithful, to a year of prayer for a new Pentecost beginning Ash Wednesday and concluding on Easter Sunday, April 5th, 2015. So this will go on for more than a year in our diocese. For the past 5 years, we have focused on our combined efforts at strengthening both the parishes and the organization of the archdiocese through Together in Faith and Changing Lives Together. The seven mission priorities identified through Together in Faith 2, Evangelization and Catechesis, Christian Service and Outreach, Youth and Young Adults, Lay Leadership, Stewardship and Administration, Catholic Schools and Vocations, provide us with the kind of clarity that will guide our pastoral ministry for years to come. He goes on to say, you might call these past 5 years a time of practical preparation for mission. The year of prayer for a new Pentecost aims to provide us with the spiritual preparation we need in order to engage more effectively the first of our mission priorities, namely evangelization. Of course, he adds, a call to evangelization demands also a considerable pastoral and spiritual formation. It will affect how we engage parish life and ministry. Evangelization is also something that many of us are unfamiliar with and perhaps even a little fearful of, in that it calls for a reconsideration of who Jesus is in our own lives and a new openness to sharing that experience with others. As an archdiocese, we need some time to learn more about evangelization and to let the Holy Spirit develop in us both the attitude and the means by which we can embrace this call fruitfully. To that end, I envision convoking an archdiocesan synod on evangelization to be held sometime in the fall of 2016. But before we get busy with that, we need to pray. The year of prayer, he says, for a new Pentecost will begin with the distribution of a simple prayer card, which I invite each of you, the Archbishop says, to use in your daily prayer. You might even pass one on to a family member or neighbor and invite them to join in this prayer themselves. Further resources for individual and parish prayer will be used and developed and distributed as the year progresses. In this year of prayer, he says, I ask each of you to pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might together make way for the Holy Spirit to awaken the hearts of Catholics, to encounter Jesus anew, grow daily as his disciples, and learn to give witness to the power of his mercy and love. So it's a beautiful Lenten letter, great way to start Lent with some directions from our shepherd in the Archdiocese of Detroit, the Most Reverend Alan Vigneron. And there was a beautiful prayer that you should have received in your parish pew this weekend, and that is the prayer in which the Archbishop opens this letter, a prayer from Blessed John the 23rd, at the beginning of the Second Vatican Council in 1961. Now, for the Archdiocese of Detroit, in the beautiful little prayer cards, our Archbishop also included the intercession of our patron saint for the city of Detroit and the Archdiocese of Detroit, and that would be Saint Anne. Okay? So beautiful prayer, beautiful way to start Lent, and we will begin saying that prayer as an archdiocese on Wednesday. And again, the little prayer cards, you can find them through the archdiocese, but they should be at your local parish in the pews already. Really neat message from the pastor of St. Isaac's and St. Angela on the east side. That's our parish home now. Of course, I still call my main parish home St. Joan of Arc. It's where I was raised, where I was married, received my sacraments, most of them. I was baptized on the east coast, but Holy Communion, confirmation, married at St. Joan. Found my vocation at St. Joan of Arc School. Found God again in the church at St. Joan of Arc. So I'm kind of split between two parishes. But anyway, Father Daryl Roman is an amazing pastor, very on fire for the Lord, and very strong in his preaching the truth about the gospel. Really cool article in our church bulletin this weekend, his column from Father Daryl. He talks about something called cheap grace. He says it's a definition of discipleship difficult for many today to accept. We look for something a little bit more comfortable. We look for cheap grace. He says it's a phrase Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a 20th century German theologian, used in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Cheap grace, Father says, is a belief that Jesus does not make demands upon those who wish to be his followers. It is discipleship without a cross. Lent invites us to discover within ourselves if there is any vestige of cheap grace within us. Cheap grace shows itself in a person who believes in only those teachings of Jesus he or she agrees with. And boy, don't we see that all over the place in our culture today. Yeah, I'm Catholic, but I'm going to put aside this teaching on abortion, this teaching on marriage, and the contraception thing, and the male-only priesthood. Nah, I'm not good with that. But I'm good with being called a Catholic and thinking I still can receive the sacraments and do whatever I want to do. I can pick and choose cheap grace. A person may accept his teaching on caring for the least among us, of course, referencing Matthew 25, 31 through 46. However, at the same time, Father says he or she may disagree with the church's teaching on divorce and adultery, Mark 10:2-10, and refuse to accept it because it does not conform to the ways of the world today. So interesting, poignant, and timely. Over the weekend when I was in Rochester, New York, I was talking to the organizers of the Catholic Women's Conference, and they did get some secular media coverage on the event, some positive, some of it quite challenging and frustrating. And one of the reporters, radio reporters, who was interviewing Christine, who was the head of the conference, was asking questions about when is the church basically going to come up to date with the times. This is exactly what we're talking about here and what Father is trying to get at. This idea of God has to conform to me. I don't have to conform to God. Me, 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 me. Cheap grace manifests itself in people who believe in Jesus' teachings that certain actions are by their very nature evil, immoral, and sinful, but declare they don't want to impose their values on others. Here's an interesting analogy that Father uses. Stealing, drug trafficking, and murder are by their very nature evil, immoral, and sinful. There are laws prohibiting these actions. So those responsible for those laws have in effect imposed their personal beliefs regarding stealing, drug trafficking, and murder on society as a whole. Abortion, euthanasia, and pornography are also by their very nature evil, immoral, and sinful. However, a different standard is applied in these cases. Imposing values on others cannot be done because that would infringe upon a person's individual freedom to do what he or she wants to do. Jesus in Luke 14:25 through 33 addressed the large crowds traveling with him about the demands of discipleship. Luke, Father says, uses the word traveling to imply people left Jesus when the journey got closer to Jerusalem and his eventual death on Calvary. The journey got too hard for them. Jesus is asking us during Lent not to travel with him, but to become his disciples and follow him. It's easier, Father Daryl says, to be a traveler and satisfied with cheap grace. It's harder to be his follower and bear the cross. But it is by following him on the way to Jerusalem and Calvary that we become his disciples. Our Lenten journey with him and to him begins on Ash Wednesday. May this season of Lent be for all of us a time to look deep into our hearts and extract whatever cheap grace is within us and to replace it with the love of Christ. And just a little bit more food for thought on a Monday. I know I'm giving you an awful lot of information, but you know what? The more knowledge we have, the better. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, Scripture tells us. Three simple questions on the threshold of Lent. And this you can find at CatholicPhilly.com. And that is a newspaper published by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And one of my favorite teachers, he's a rock star to me, Archbishop Chaput. Beautiful column this week. Three simple questions on the threshold of Lent. Self-examination, repentance, and reconciliation are rarely painless. They can sound a lot easier in theory than they are in practice. So he says, as we start this year's Lenten journey, a few simple questions and answers might help us on our way. Reconciliation sounds great as an idea, but how do you reconcile with someone who's bitterly hurt you and won't even acknowledge that he or she has done wrong? Isn't forgiveness a two-way street? Forgiving those who hurt us is our business. Making our forgiveness contingent on the other person's admission of guilt is just another way of demanding justice and insisting on our rights. That's a subtle form of pride. Jesus forgave his murderers even as they were mocking him and killing him on the cross. His forgiveness was a free gift, no strings attached. We can't follow him unless we do the same. However, the Archbishop says, you're right that when a breach exists between two people, it can't be healed unless both sincerely want it healed. Even then, someone or something has to provide a means of bringing them back together. That is God's role. Reconciliation is a work of God. Seeking reconciliation is our work. We need to do whatever we can to make peace with others and leave the rest in the hands of God. But if justice is a good thing, why would I simply walk away from it when it comes to my own needs? You shouldn't, the Archbishop says. It's always reasonable to insist on being treated fairly and honestly, and we're obliged to treat others in the same way. Unfortunately, you and I and everyone else are also sinners, which means that inevitably we'll treat others unjustly and be treated unjustly ourselves. As a result, he says, life can very quickly become a web of angry claims and counterclaims against each other, many of them just, and most of them unresolvable. The only way to cut our way out of this tangle is to forgive. Forgiveness, he says, is an act of freedom. It creates new possibilities. It frees us from the burden of our own wounded selfishness and releases others to forgive and get free as well. Why do I need to indict myself to get ready for Easter? Isn't Easter this new season of a new life? Where's the joy in spending Lent as the prosecutor at my own trial? We owe ourselves exactly the same mercy we owe to others. Vilifying ourselves isn't the point of Lent. Purifying our heart is. Lent is a time when we learn the language of repentance and forgiveness by disciplining our mind, our spirit, and our appetites so that nothing prevents us from hearing God's voice and seeking Him out. The joy in Lent, Archbishop Chaput says, comes from our own confidence in the resurrection of a Savior who will deliver us from sin and restore us to life. Of course, unless we understand our own sinfulness, unless we understand the urgency of repentance and reconciliation, the cross makes no sense. The resurrection makes no sense. Easter joy is the joy of deliverance and new life. If we don't believe in our bones that we really do desperately need these things, Easter is just another exercise for a holiday sale, and the sacrament of penance and our fasting and almsgiving are a waste of time. But in the silence of our own hearts, if we're honest, we know we're hungering for something more than our own selfishness and mistakes. We were made for glory, and we're empty of that glory until God fills us with His presence. All things are made new in the victory of Jesus, even sinners like you and me. The blood of the cross washes away death, purifies us as vessels for God's new life. The resurrection fills us with God's own life. Archbishop Chaput closes saying, Lent is an opportunity and a grace, not a burden. May we use the weeks of Lent this year to clean and ready our hearts so we can receive Jesus Christ this Easter and share His life throughout 2014. So we have a few days until Lent begins. How will you be spending Lent? what you'll be requiring of yourself, and what you'll be looking to do in terms of your relationship with God. Some things to think about as we head into the Lenten season 2014, which begins Wednesday, March 5th. We'll be right back.
Excited to hear Father Paul Jack, National Director for the Roman Catholic Courage Apostolate, and the team present information about the Catholic Church's understanding of homosexuality. Courage is the only church-sanctioned support ministry for same-sex attracted persons and their loved ones. This free information session is sponsored by the Archdiocese of Detroit and will take place at Sacred Heart Major Seminary on Saturday, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. RSVP today to attend at no charge by going to www.aod.org/courage, where you'll find a registration link. Come and have all your questions answered.
Hi, this is John Morales, director and producer of the 40 film, inviting you and your friends to the Detroit area premiere of this newly released pro-life documentary on Sunday, March 9th at 5 p.m. at the Imagine Theater in Rochester Hills. 40 addresses abortion as the most important human rights issue of our time, with compelling stories, and it also answers some of the strongest arguments for the pro-choice position.
Pro-choice are saying they care so much about women. Well, I'm a woman, and what good is my right to anything if I don't have my right to life?
Join international pro-life speaker Rebecca Kiesling and me on Sunday, March 9th for this special fundraising event for Mary's Mantle in Bloomfield Hills, a Catholic home for expectant mothers. For tickets, go to the Facebook page 40 Film at Imagine Theater or call 586-864-3792.
During this season of Lent, Our Lady of Grace Bookstore offers many books of appropriate length to have you finish during the season. Now each Lent, many say they want to have a growing relationship with God. Then start with Clarence Ensler's My Other Self, Conversations with Christ on Living Your Faith. Endorsed by Benedict Rochelle and Cardinal Donald Wuerl, it's called an intimate guide to the spiritual life, beginning with the call of friendship. In Conversation with God from Francis Fernandez is in a similar vein. And if you wonder why people witness to God's mercy, see Christoph Cardinal Schönborn's book, We Have Found Mercy, The Mystery of God's Merciful Love. Our Lady of Grace has plenty of books for kids, too, including Ablaze, Stories of Daring Teen Saints, and the Lenten Survival Guide for Kids. I'm supposed to do what? Those ideas plus DVDs, icons, rosaries, and crucifixes is what Our Lady of Grace Bookstore is known for having all year round. Our Lady of Grace Bookstore at Lobby C of Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Pope John the 23rd called for a new Pentecost in our day. Just as the first Pentecost was the foundation for the first missionary impetus of the Church, so the new Pentecost is the foundation for the new evangelization, the renewed missionary effort of the body of Christ. In fact, the new evangelization cannot happen without a new Pentecost. But to live a new Pentecost is to play with fire, because evangelization is about true salvation. It is not about the easy and cultural acceptable path of enrichment. Our God is a holy and awesome God who requires our holiness and trust. Only through life in the Holy Spirit can we model the kingdom and be true missionaries.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
1 in 3 Americans deal directly or indirectly with alcohol or substance abuse in their lifetime. If you're dependent and contemplating help, start listening to Renewing Hope every Saturday at noon on Ave Maria Radio. Renewing Hope is an information gateway to overcoming dependency. Brought to you by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, they want to help. Send your comments and questions without obligation to Renewing Hope at AveMariaRadio.net. And all audio archives can be found at our website at AveMariaRadio.net.
Connection 840. It is a Monday morning, a very cold Monday morning. We are still below zero in terms of the temperature. It's going to be warming up later in the week, but not for a while, I'm afraid. On the phone with us, though, to keep us warm with some beautiful thoughts of getting closer to the Lord, especially for the guys, Paco Gavrilides joining us once again. You know him well, really doesn't need any introduction, but Paco has worked for many years in the Archdiocese of Detroit and elsewhere in Michigan on men's conferences, on evangelization, and also now teaching at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Still involved in ministry, though, at the parish level, and he's here to talk to us about a wonderful presentation to be given by our very own Alberto, as I call him, Cresta, who's speaking for the morning firemen's breakfast. Hey, Paco, good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
Cold.
Cold and enduring, right?
Offering it up for the sake of the cross. As my mother would say,
that's right.
Enough already, though, with the cold weather. Anyway, I don't want to get off track because this sounds like a great gathering of men. When is it, and what will our dear Al be talking about?
Yes, this is a what we wanted to do was to offer the men various themes and topics for our own spiritual growth. Kind of, the overall programming for the last 4 or 5 months is going to be on pursuing our full stature in Christ. And in this particular time during the Lenten season, we wanted to put a focus on an aspect of our Christian walk with the Lord that was really important, which was our identity together as men. And I spoke with Ral about this at length, and he and I really agreed this was a very important topic. And what it's going to be is, we sort of titled it this way, it's a three-part series. Manhood, much has been lost, much is to be restored.
Hmm.
And that's going to be on three Tuesdays. One of them is on March 18th. That will be the first one. And then Al will be out of town. So the next time, we have one on April 1st and April 8th. And we wanted to invite all the men in the area who are in men's groups, that are have monthly meetings, even just to come as brothers together and to listen to Al talk about this area of our growth and development and self-identity and so on. It's from 6 a.m. in the morning to 7 a.m. We start with a brief prayer. We have breakfast, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We get the presentation, that we are able to sit around tables and talk about the particular content of the presentations, and we thought this was relevant enough and timely and needful that we just wanted to extend the invitation. So in a particular way, our brothers over at Our Lady of Good Counsel, who meet together on Wednesday mornings, who are used to getting up early, are cordially invited on Tuesday mornings on those three dates, March 18th, April 1st, and 8th, to come and be with us as we go through these topics with Al. And we think this is an area where one of the calls from the Lord for us is to really recover a healthy identity of who we are. We can't make our contribution to building up the body of Christ unless we have the proper understanding of who we are and the proper formation and even a kind of a culture where we learn how to be godly men together. And so that's what the purpose of this is. And sometimes it's helpful to have a kind of a historical perspective,
mm-hmm,
of, well, what's happened in our culture? What's undermined a healthy psychological, emotional development and who we are as men. So the idea is to imitate Jesus Christ. And in order to imitate Jesus Christ, we need to take into consideration the whole person, not just his spirit, but also his body and his mind, his psyche and all that, so that we can be loving brothers, we can be faithful husbands, we can be strong men of God to serve in our families, in the parishes, in society. So this is what this is all about, is to kind of develop, have more of an understanding so that we can let the Spirit really work these things into our lives and support one another and have a culture of healthy brotherhood and love together. So that's
what we're about. Craziness and confusion out there right now, Paco. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with the Facebook story that broke a couple weeks ago in the middle of February, where Facebook is now offering, in addition to male and female, you can identify yourself within additional 48 gender descriptions.
Right. That is just insane. It makes no sense. It's a overt denial of reality. It's basically a rejection of the fundamental understanding
of
natural
person.
Order of things, mm-hmm. You know, in God. Mm-hmm. So I think our understanding right now is to say, yes, those things are going on. That confusion is going to be with us for a long time. One of the things that we can do to actually help people is be all that our Lord wants us to be together,
right,
so that people can look and say, oh, now there's a very interesting specimen of a man and a healthy man. And I think this is one of the things that we really can offer. If we walk in God's ways and enter into relationship with Him in the good order of who we are, we will be, by virtue of becoming who we are called to become in Christ, a witness in the society. And maybe people won't even know how to, you know, respond to it immediately and all of its implications. But it's very helpful for them to see, oh, this is what happens when a man walks with Christ. So.
Let's take a quick break, Paco. When we come back, we'll wrap up and remind folks of the talks that Al will be giving and how they can register if they'd like to travel over to the West Side to find out more information. Why not? But you have to get up really early, but that's okay. It's for a great cause and great reason, and also just something really beautiful to do during Lent. And also would like to talk to you more, Paco, about what you see some of the attacks on men are. I really believe that radical feminism has a lot to do with all the confusion, not to mention, of course, these messages that we're getting from our culture, how men simply cannot function outside of a paper bag without the help of a woman, that they're just useless and bumbling idiots, and the only thing we need them for is a sperm bank. 877-573-7825, talking with Evangelist Paco Gavrilides about a beautiful event coming up featuring our very own Al Cresta. And if you've never heard Al speak in person at an event, it's really great. I mean, he's obviously incredible on the air, but there's something different about the dynamics. I love speaking. I love speaking as much as I love being on the radio. And I think in some ways I like speaking more because you get to see people and you kind of feed off the energy from the audience. So anyway, the Morning Fire Men's Breakfast, more from Paco Gavrilides and the different talks that Al will be giving in the coming weeks to help men understand who they are in Christ. We'll be right back.
You're invited to the Family Life Services 2014 Winter Gala on Thursday, March 13th. This year, the gala will take place once again at the Yankee Air Museum at Willow Run Airport in Belleville from 6 to 9 p.m. Our special guest speaker will be Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life. Enjoy food by the Movable Feast. This is your chance to support our life-saving work. Register at flsbanquet.com. That's flsbanquet.com.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by catholicbusinesspages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
The 17th Annual Holy Trinity Apostolate Lenten Symposium is Saturday, March 15th, and this year's theme is the Light of Faith. Keynote speaker Archbishop Timothy Broglio from the Archdiocese of Military Services in the United States will be the event's featured speaker.
The history of the Church teaches us that reform is only possible when it is based not on what they do, but what I do.
Other speakers include the Most Reverend Francis Reese, Auxiliary Bishop from Detroit, Monsignor Todd Lajeunesse, Rector of Sacred Heart Major Seminary, the Very Reverend Miroslav Kroll, Sisters Mary James and M. Katerina, and Dick Thompson, President of the Thomas More Law Center. The symposium is March 15th at St. Cyril and Methodius on Rhine and 18 Mile in Sterling Heights. There's a youth symposium for ages 14 to 17 featuring Kansas City Chief Linebacker Frank Zombo. For ticket information, go to HolyTrinityApostolate.com and register, or call Mary Ann at 586-731-3742.
Bitterly cool Monday morning. Below zero still. Not going to be much warmer in the teens today. Warming up later in the week, though. We're going to see probably a high close to, well, mid-30s and maybe even close to 40 in some parts of Michigan and northwestern Ohio. Welcome back. Ave Maria Radio. Teresa Tomeo, Catholic Connection. Our guest, Evangelist Paco Gabrielides, of course, teaches at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit, but still working at the parish level and the diocesan level in evangelization, including getting the word out about a beautiful series of talks that our very own Al Cresta will be giving through the Morning Fire Men's Breakfast. So, Paco, for folks who are just tuning in, give us the details again.
Yes, it's going to be a three-part series given by Al Cresta, host of Crest in the Afternoon, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
The dates are March 18th, April 1st, and April 8th. We begin at 6 a.m. sharp, and we close at 6 a.m. It will be at Christ the King Parish in the Parish Center. And that's basically the... And anyone who wants to, we would like it if you could register. And I'm going to make it really simple. They can register they can send their registration at my email address, gavrilides.francisco@shms.edu. Should I spell Gavrilides for them?
Sure.
GAVRILIDES.
Now, do they need to register in advance?
They don't need to at all. They can just come that day. We would like it only for the purposes of providing enough food for breakfast. We'd like it if they could possibly let us know they're coming, but not to worry. Just to come anyway. We'll multiply the food if they want to be there, so that's not a problem.
Can Al do that too? I mean, I know he's a pretty smart guy, but I didn't know he can multiply the loaves and the fishes. That's pretty good.
That's right.
He didn't tell me about that.
It's coming out. It's new charism,
my goodness. So. Well, you know, hey, you always develop your talents. They continue to grow as we go older, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit. What do you think in terms of men, why they're having a real hard time with this identity crisis? What do you think's going on? I mean, what do you think are some of the briefly? We only have about 4 minutes
right.
left.
Well, you know, I think for a number of years now, radical feminism has really attacked men. Some of what they attack was because of weaknesses and faults in men that have also been in the culture for many times. But in doing so, what they were really trying to break was men taking a lot of initiative, having confidence in being leaders and being able to provide a certain kind of you know, in this initiative, positive initiative in the situation. And I think that men now feel like any kind of leadership is like domination. It's the wrong kind of control. They've lost basic self-confidence, and that's one of the things that needs to get restored.
But it's confusing. Can you blame them in some cases, though? I mean, I'm going to talk about this Saturday in Grand Rapids.
Right.
Because they're like, okay, well, what do I do? I'm darned if I do and I'm darned if I don't kind
that's
of situation.
Right. Right, and I think that what we need to understand as men is that taking initiative is done in a way out of love for the purpose of serving a situation is good and healthy. And when it's done with wisdom and it's done with the right kind of sensitivity to the situation, it in itself speaks to build up that situation, and people will begin to appreciate it. We don't have to push things in people's faces. We just have to take the initiatives and serve in wise and loving ways. And that makes a huge difference in personal relationships many times.
here's the thing, though, right? You've got, on the one end, you've got women saying, you know, I am woman, hear me roar. I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. And on the other hand, you have women who are just eating up 50 Shades of Grey, the book series, like crazy. And then they're saying, I don't need a man, I don't need a man, but I love it when a man dominates me to the point of an abusive relationship. Now, tell me that isn't confusing for a guy.
Oh, yes. It's very, very confusing for a guy. And I think the for us, the guide is our Christian vision and worldview, how we relate to our sisters in with respect, showing them full dignity. And I think one of the things, Teresa, is to help our men not worry so much about the noise of the world,
right,
and pay attention to the voice of the Lord and His truth. And if we act out of that and not find ourselves subtly submitted to the propaganda out in secular society, we'll be able to, you know, have the right kind of impact and be able to bless a lot of people. I know that will happen.
Amen. And I think things are happening, though. It's good news because you have events,
yes,
like yours when you're promoting as well. For example, at different conferences, I was telling you during the break, I was in Rochester over the weekend. Sellout crowd of women, turned over 200 women away. They packed,
yes,
the place, 1,000 women. This weekend in Grand Rapids, they're probably in sellout capacity already.
Yes.
People are showing up. They're hungry.
They're
hungry.
That's the word.
We just have to keep putting it out there, keep speaking the truth in love. And
yes,
because the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but the church,
exactly,
is going to be here forever.
Exactly. Thank
God
you.
God bless you. Appreciate
bless
it. And we'll have you on again, or maybe even Al, as we get closer to the March 18th morning with our very own Al Cresta for Morning Fire for the men's group. We'll be back in the National Hour in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned on a chilly, cold Monday.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part from our day sponsor, Holy Spirit Catholic School in Brighton. Plan to visit their March 6 open house from 9:30 to 11 a.m. for the opportunity to meet the principal, teachers, and learn about their new building expansion plan. You can be a day sponsor too. Just pick up the phone and call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Paul states in Romans, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Faith invites us to ponder the good news that stirs the heart, waiting for a response. Responding in faith allows the Spirit to recreate us in His image and prompt us to bring His glory into a darkened world. This reality of being made new by faith begins with baptism, when we receive the Spirit and are made children of God. The Catechism teaches that faith in God brings unity and gives true dignity to all people, because all are made in the image and likeness of God. Let us pray that we are attuned to the promptings of the Spirit to be made more into God's image, sharing the unity and dignity we all have, and preaching the good news as we go about our daily lives.